Hi, welcome to the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about Drupal, PHP, open source, and related software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis. Today I'm here with my guest, George Gordon. Good to see you on the George. Good to see you, George. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me on. It's the first time I've done a podcast, so this is great fun.
Yeah, so a little bit different, and yeah, I think we have a good, interesting conversation. Do you want to share a little bit about yourself and what you do before we get into that?
As you said, my name is George Gordon. I've not been in tech long. It's probably about a year and a half now. And I recently got a job at Versantis, where I currently work, and I'm a junior developer there. I started tech probably about a year and a half ago, as I said, and I started teaching myself with the Odin project initially, and I really enjoyed it. And when I was younger, I mean, I'd never really fallen into tech. It was more the magic that happened behind the curtain. I'd never really met anyone who had done it, and so I was very new to it. And when I discovered it, I really enjoyed it. I was listening to podcasts and all sorts of things to try and get into it and try and absorb as much information as possible. Where I heard about School of Code, and I was in Bangkok at the time, and I thought, let's see what this is about. And I looked online and slowly went through their process. And finally, the day before my wedding, I got the invite, which was very exciting. And I loved it. It wasn't an easy course by any means, but I had lots of fun. The cohort were incredible. The lecturers were amazing. And the one thing that stood through it all, I remember when we had all our lecturers, I said, "Is tech really like this?" And they said, "No, the course is actually harder than real life," which gave me a bit of relief.
Yeah, so
But I loved it.
School of Code, I've been involved with a few boot camps the last couple of years and sort of mentoring sort of capacities, as you know. But School of Code is it 16-week boot camp?
Yes.
And it's everything from, has everybody got some amount of experience before they start, or is it just
I wouldn't say
straight?
so. Some people have never done anything like this before. But I think as you go through, you really get to know if you're going to love this or not. Because the weeks aren't easy. I think Monday's never too bad. By Tuesday, you're really starting to scratch your head and you have one of Loz's long lectures. And by Wednesday, you're starting to get it. Thursday, you know what's going on. And then every Friday, you have a hackathon, which is the most fun of the week. So you can apply what you've learnt, and then display it in your team to either one another or to the lecturer, which is always a good way to end the week.
That's quite good. So it's a bit of a practical application of what you've learned during that week then.
Exactly. Well, it's actually how I remember meeting you the first time was at our hackathon in Birmingham.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've also been to the what's it called, Tech Connect meetup. They did one in London for a little bit before that, so that was interesting. I got to meet quite a few current and, well, at the time current and graduate people, so that was really interesting as well to sort of get to see a bit behind the curtain of what was happening. So yeah, it was really
Yes.
interesting, and the hackathon was good. It was, remember, it's like Christmas themed hack day in the middle of January because it being delayed slightly or something. But yeah, it was
Yes.
good, a really good good day.
Yeah. It was a nice opportunity for us as teammates to, or in the cohort, to see each other because it's all online. So you never really see anyone. And as you arrived and you helped us, it's one of those things. I think you described it in one of your blogs. You called it paying it forward. Spending some time, taking time, out from your time off to go and help others get into this world and enjoy it. And I found it's never something I'd seen in any other industry. I thought, it was gave me a lot of inspiration to see stuff like that happening, and I loved it. It was a really good hackathon. We didn't win in the end. I think your team did.
Yeah, my team did. Yeah, it's an interesting day. So I think we were doing almost like a meetup.com type of event booking system for Christmas walks or something. Again, yeah, because it's all Christmas
Yes.
themed. And yeah, it was very interesting. There was me, and we had another mentor on my group as well. And there were four people, three or four people, I think, working on the actual sort of code or the application. And we spent a lot of time working sort of separately in the morning, different people doing different roles, doing some fig jam wireframing. Somebody else was doing a little bit of coding, and sort of after lunch,
Yes.
tried to sort of pull everybody together. And it's like, let's work on this. And yeah, it was the full on day, and then there's presentations and things at the end of, yeah. And I imagine that must have been quite scary for everybody to get up then and sort of talk to everybody else about what you've been doing all day and how you'd all approached it.
Yes, exactly. It's the first hackathon I've ever done in person. Or ever done still. And it was nerve-wracking standing up there in front of everyone that you hadn't met. But it was definitely good fun. I was looking for some recently in Oxford, to see if they had anything. And the closest they had was the NHS run sometimes. Which I was looking for, but there doesn't seem to be any coming up in the near future, sadly.
Yeah, I've seen some around sort of local to me. I think Code Bar, I think, is the thing that sort of runs it. But I've seen them usually a day or two before the event, so usually I can't get there in that sort of time. But that's something similar, I think. I've maybe seen them in Bristol as well, or you know, something similar where people can go and sort of learn, and there's opportunities to do mentoring and other stuff as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, any chance I can find to go and do that is always, yeah, helpful. And I think part of if I can give people like an hour or a couple of hours in a day and help them, you know, get into tech or learn something new, then yeah, that's a good time well spent, I think.
Yes. No, it's an incredible thing to do. I often think about that hackathon and I wonder if we'd done it in Drupal, how much further we'd have got. Because things like the login page, for instance, are just there, straight out the box. I remember when the first time I built my first Drupal application, how amazed how much time you save doing it.
Yeah, think about one of the things I was talking about on the day. So we split people up into, so the idea was we had the login flow with people who go to the site. They'd click register or log in, and then they'd see the listing page of the events, and then you'd click one and you'd see the actual event. And then one of the people like started coding up this login form and making that all work. I was like, well, A, we've only got like 3 hours to finish this in. Like, it doesn't need to be like a fully working login system. Like, we need to just do like a very lean, minimum viable approach. As long as we've got a form that we can go to and fill in and people can see, we don't need it all working at this point. And I think that was interesting because people like, yeah, we don't need to build the whole, like we just need to do enough to do this presentation in a couple of hours. But yeah, a lot of it does Drupal specifically, and a lot of CMSs and frameworks give you a lot out of the box,
Yes.
which I saw a friend of mine, Gary, and he does a lot of Laravel streaming, and we were doing some Drupal stuff on there. I can't remember how, but yeah, we had exactly the same conversation. It's like, does all this out of the box, like without needing to install extra things, but yeah, it's all there. It's all out of the
Yes.
box.
It's quite incredible. I mean, I don't know if you know, the last talk you came to in Oxford where you were talking about PHP. At the end of the talk, you were talking to two gentlemen, Mark and Matt, who ended up employing me after that. That's how we all met.
That's right.
And they rang me a few weeks after, said, come in for an interview. And I got the job, which
Yeah,
was one of the
interesting
biggest
how you.
relieves of my life.
Yeah, it was interesting. So I was up in Oxford, as you said, doing a talk for the PHP group, and speaking to people afterwards, and yeah, met the two, and we were sort of talking, and they said, "Oh, we do some PHP and some Drupal and everything as well." And then you were there. I'd sort of recognized you, I think, from somewhere. So asked them how you. The nice thing about meetups and things, you've also got an icebreaker question to ask everybody, and like, so what is it you do in tech, rather than some random person on the street? Like, you can't really do that. So yeah, then you were like, oh, boot camp, and I was like, oh, well, which boot camp have you done? And you'd mentioned about School of Code, and I was like, oh, I want School of Code. So that was, yeah, it was quite interesting. And yeah, there's definitely like I had a similar thing. So years ago, we used to do a Drupal meetup in Cardiff, and I was already doing it, but I hadn't moved into it full time yet, or I just started my very first sort of junior role and got speaking to somebody there, and they'd sort of working for an agency and sort of said they were hiring or looking to hire soon. I was quite happy in my first job then still. And a few months later, maybe like a year later or something, I was interested and applied for a role through a recruitment agency, like a normal sort of process, and went and said, oh, you're going to go meet this guy, and this is his name, and whatever for this interview. So I looked at this email from the recruiter and went, I recognize that name from somewhere, and I couldn't quite figure out where it was. And then guy walks in, and I'm like, oh, we met at this meetup in the, that was there in Cardiff. So yeah, a lot of similarities and parallels there actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I go to as many talks as I can, because when I first started, when we first moved to Oxford, there weren't any talks at all. And recently, I think you're one of the first ones I went to. They started popping up everywhere, and now there's, one or two a week. And they're always good fun.
There's been quite a few around Oxford, I think, and what is it? Birmingham, there's quite a few as well, and then Bristol, there's usually been quite a few. London, obviously, is quite, it's, there's a lot of them around, but I think a lot of them seem to close down or go quiet or, well, all online over COVID. And
Yes.
some of them are now starting to pop back up again. Yeah, Berkshire and Reading is starting up again soon, or it's just starting up again. So I'm probably going to be going there as well at some point to give some sort of talk. But yeah, again, it's all good. If somebody gets something from it,
Exactly.
then it's good. And particularly if I've done some ones for automated testing, that's one of the big things I talk about often. And in the end of that talk, I've got a like a screenshot of a tweet that somebody had sent me afterwards, and gone, but like, oh, I found a bug I wouldn't have found otherwise. Thanks for doing this. And yeah, that's really quite nice. Like someone's got something from that talk that I did,
Yes.
and taken it away. And similarly, I did one on a Tailwind CSS talk, which I think was at WordCamp in Bristol a few years ago. And yeah, again, conference came and went. Had a couple of discussions with people after the talk, as you do. People come up with questions usually. And a little while later, Adam, who's the creator of the Tailwind framework, had put out some tweet about how did you find out about Tailwind or something. And somebody replied to this tweet saying, I saw somebody gave a talk about it at a conference. I didn't like it. I said it wasn't very good. The guy told me to go away and try it. I did. And now I use it for everything. And in the reply to that tweet, he said, and the speaker was at me. So I found out about it that way. So it's nice then when you can see, like, yeah, things that you're doing are having a good impact on people.
Yes. No, I do love things like that. That's why I enjoy podcasts and what we're doing now. Because just from someone's conversation, it leads you down another road, and that's how I found School of Code.
Yeah, interesting to bring this around full circle. I found out about School of Code when I was at the PHP meetup in Bristol. And oh, I can't remember people's names now. I'm terrible names. Spencer, I think it was Spencer, was involved there. He came and gave a talk at one of the events. And he's since, I believe, gone on as a into the cohort as a student and
Yes,
gone through
he
it
was on
as
my
well,
cohort.
which is interesting. But yeah, he was working for them in some sort of partnership role, I think, finding roles for people. By then, I think the boot camp I was mentoring at previously, it had finished during COVID or whatever that had happened there. And I was sort of looking out for maybe to get involved in another one. And that one came along and I was like, oh, I'll get involved in that. So I found out about it through a meetup as well as well. So, which is quite interesting.
That's very interesting because yes, as I said, he was on my cohort, and we didn't know he works with School of Code. He kept it quite secret for a long time, and then one of the talks we realized, oh, he knows everyone, and he worked for School of Code. But we found his LinkedIn; it all came out, and we thought he was a secret spy.
undercover person.
Yes.
That's cool. So you mentioned about podcasts and things at the beginning. What was your first sort of, why did you want to get into software or tech in the first place?
I randomly was in Malaysia at the time, and we'd been traveling before COVID, and When we came back afterwards, we discovered a lot of people had changed. The demographic of people who were traveling with had changed. And everyone had changed to the point where, afterwards, let's say if everyone went for drinks, people were basically not drinking. And in the evenings, they were all going off and working. So I met up with one of the girls and asked her what she did. And she said it was really complex and it would take too long to understand. And we went on a hike that weekend. I said, we've got about 8 hours now. I'm sure that's long enough for me to get it. And she explained to me she was coding for a company in Belarus, but she could do it from anywhere in the world. And so she ran me through what she did. And I really liked the look of it and the freedom and flexibility it gave you. And the main fact was you could teach yourself. And if I could do that and enjoy it and then try and get on a boot camp, I'd go for it, which is how it all began.
Okay, interesting.
And yeah, that's where I started the Odin project. And it was all, I mean, it's a different world.
Yeah, I started off as sort of a desktop support IT role and then sort of found out about software somehow. I can't remember exactly, but it was the same idea that I could go and teach this to myself and then do it essentially from anywhere as well. But yeah, it was definitely some of the key sort of things for me as well. And yeah, I ended up working, and even like Fallout, the Drupal Association, were based in America, most of them, in Portland. So I couldn't have done that, but a lot of other jobs, because there's a big distance between the two. A lot of the work I've done for London-based agencies or other, other places. So yeah, it does sort of open up the whole remote work thing. Well,
Yes.
a lot of places.
No, I find it, and I've really enjoyed working with Drupal. I find it incredible, how versatile it is. They've just offered me to go to DrupalCon this year in Barcelona,
Barcelona. Cool.
which is going to be lots of fun. So I think we, well, it's all booked and paid for. And I'm excited to go. I've never been to anything like that before. So I'm quite excited. So if you've got any advice for me, let me know.
Yeah, DrupalCon's brilliant. I've been to quite a few, as I was at the last one in Lille, so that was good. Gave a testing talk whilst I was there. But yeah, it's usually about 1,800 or 1,500 people, I guess, depending. The EU one, from all different places and different companies and countries and things. So it's definitely a different experience, compared to lots of other things. But yeah, it's great to go and be able to see what, like I said at the beginning, about a lot of people wanting to sort of share what they know. And again, I
Yes.
don't feel that that happens in a lot of other industries, particularly, particularly in the sort of software or open source sort of area. Like, a lot of people are going like, this is how we're doing this and this and this, whereas in other areas it might be, oh, that's our sort of proprietary sort of thing and we're not going to tell anybody about this, whereas in
Yes.
our area we're like, oh, we built this cool thing, everybody take it and try and see how it works for you. So building the whole sort of pie for everybody so the slices are bigger, that's the way someone subscribed it to me beforehand.
Good analogy.
Yeah,
Yes,
DrupalCon is
I'm really excited for that. And yeah, there's so many talks to choose from. I need to slowly filter through them and see what I'd find most valuable. And yeah, go through them really.
Yeah, I tend to go to less talks there now, unless it's something I really want to go and see or maybe speak to the person about. And usually I'm there to either do contribution sprints, so there's a room set up for people to be actually doing coding and things, and usually there's mentors there as well. And on the Friday, it's usually a mentor contribution day.
Okay.
Or do such, like, it's called hallway track, so it's just that sort of meeting the people as much as going to the talks, because I can always watch talks online and they'll go on YouTube afterwards anyway. But yeah, usually I try and find people, or particularly people like who work on sort of issue queues or things. Like, oh, you and I worked on that together, or whatever. So it's usually a good opportunity to do that in person if we can. And that's something that I. Again, it's there in a lot of other communities, but you can go from having small sort of local, let's say monthly meetups with like anywhere from like a couple of people to like Drupal Camp conferences, which are smaller conferences. Maybe like used to do one in London. Used to be quite a few around the UK, and it's gone a little bit quiet recently on the Drupal Camp scene. But maybe we need to fix that. And then you've
Yes.
got this big sort of 1500, 2000 person conference like in Europe every year, and then there's one in America, and then there's the third one again. There's another one in Asia again, or somewhere again this year. So yeah, it's a really interesting thing to be done, but also I think it's an interesting time to get into, I guess, Drupal specifically at the moment as well, with a lot of the changes going on and newer versions of it coming out with all these new improvements and things in as well. So there's definitely a lot going on that I'm sure
Definitely.
you'll find out more about on the day. What
I will. I mean,
then?
I'm still going, trying to work through all the modules and work out how many there are. There's millions, and it's so incredible. I mean, things that would take you weeks to code, you download and integrate in minutes.
Yeah, and one of the key ones I've had that is doing Drupal Commerce. If you've, I don't know if you've looked at that yet, but a few years ago, I was working at what agency I was working at, and we had a request come in for a client or potential client to build an e-commerce application for them, and they did Drupal, but they did something else as well. I think it might have been even their own CMS that they built. And whatever it was, they didn't have any sort of e-commerce functionality. I feel like they might have had to read it pretty much from scratch, whichever way. We were in a different client meeting afterwards, actually, and I was discussing this with somebody, and I was like, "Oh, so if you were going to write, e-commerce, how long would that take you to do?" And I threw up some number, wherever it was, and then I was like, "Oh, look at this!" And then spun up this Drupal Commerce application. And it was like a couple of minutes, and it was, like, and if it's not exactly what they want, like, it might get you 90% of the way there or something, but also having this community around it is a big plus, in my opinion. If you need a new payment gateway or something added, the chances are somebody else is going to also need that, so you don't need to
Yes.
write it all yourself, which is brilliant. But even, yeah, just like Drupal on its own, like we were saying, it's got things so much out of the box with like user logins and JSON API, like all these things there out of the box that you just don't need to code
Exactly.
yourself. And you can just focus on like the business problem that you're trying to solve,
Yes.
not so much about doing all the sort of boilerplate or the plumbing type of work.
Exactly. And why try and reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a very good point. Because you weren't doing Drupal on the bootcamp. You were doing
No.
what was it? What were you doing on the bootcamp?
So
That
we
wasn't
started
expected.
off. I thought we was going to spend a lot more time doing HTML and CSS on the course. So that's what I concentrated on. And I'd got into my first week of self-study with JavaScript. And when we started the course, I think we spent 2 days on HTML and CSS. And then we were straight into JavaScript. So I felt I'd wasted a lot of my time studying these things so intensely. So we started off with HTML, CSS, as I said. Then we did a week on JavaScript. And then we have a week learning things like Figma, which was mind-blowing to be able to design things at that level. And then they talk about things. We spend a week learning things about agile methodologies. And then we go on to React. I'm trying to think. I've probably missed quite a few things there, but those are the key base points that we hit on. And then it's more just learning how to, the feeling of being uncomfortable and being comfortable with that, learning how to go out on your own and study, working within a team, not going off on your own, learning about retrospectives and stand-ups in the morning, and just trying to get that flow of the real world and how it all works, really. And I found the integration between doing that course and the real world, there's not a huge amount of differences, and it's incredible
Okay.
that they managed to do that.
Yeah, sounds like it. But certainly, what you said, it sounds like JavaScript all the way down. And I think it was when we did the hack day, I think it was most people were doing React, which
Yes.
sort of makes sense. And I feel like that's the one I was doing before, the one I mentioned before. I feel like was doing JavaScript sort of on the front end and doing sort of PHP, probably it was Drupal 8 or Drupal 9 on the back end, and sort of having. Then you're sort of building two halves of the application and getting experience with two different languages at the same time. Because I feel like to try and do that on the 60, I guess JavaScript is like the easiest one because it works everywhere. You could do it on the back end, the front end, you could do it for infrastructure as code with like Pulumi or something as well. Like it's interesting. I
Yes.
can see why they might want to focus on just one thing, but yeah, I can see the advantages to learning multiple sort of languages as well, potentially.
Yes. I mean, towards the end, we did touch on Next.js, and its search engine optimization benefits, but we didn't do much work in it in actual a practical sense. It was mostly the HTML, CSS, and JavaScript in the end that we used, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was lots of fun. I mean, the things you use in the real day, every day in the real world. It's a better way to put it.
Yeah, I remember it was a thing. A few years ago now, I was on a training course for something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but having done Drupal for quite a long time, there used to be a lot of, there still are some, but some lot of Drupalisms and some sort of specific things that only really applied to that as a framework. Whereas in the more modern versions, in like Drupal 8+, it's being a lot more standardized in terms of some of the approaches it's using, some of the terminology it's using. So I remember being like, I've also done Symfony, which is a PHP framework. And I remember being in this course, and it was a, I can't remember what it was about, but it was some JavaScript thing added to a page. And I can't remember exactly, yeah, I can't remember what it was about, but they started talking about event subscribers and events and listening to events and things. And I was like, oh, I know what that is, and I know how that works because it's a standard sort of software paradigm about dispatching events and subscribing or listening to events. So even though I've not written, maybe done it in JavaScript, I know what it is because I've done it in Symfony, I've done it in Drupal. So even though the technology is much, I don't want to say it doesn't matter as much, but I think learning the fundamentals and learning about some of those
Yes.
approaches and patterns is quite crucial.
Yes. Because at the moment, I mean, I've never studied PHP, and I'm looking at a course to do one on the side at the moment. But knowing the fundamentals of coding helps me, even though I don't know the codes necessarily, know what's going on in the code. It helps you look through it, and work out what's going on.
Yeah, it's maybe knowing what to Google for a little bit as well.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, if I can write a for each loop in JavaScript, I can sort of know how to Google, how do I do a for each loop in PHP or a for each loop in something else? Or
Yes.
yeah, whereas if you're completely new to it, you wouldn't even know that that was a thing. But
Yes.
from a fun, or you could even go into something like ChatGPT probably and say, here's some JavaScript. How would I write this in PHP or something potentially? So
Exactly.
that would be quite interesting.
It's I find it interesting how AI is slowly making its way into modules that I found. One I was installing this week on a site was auto alt text integration. So I upload a picture of myself on there, and so the user doesn't have to do it. And it was picture of boy on the beach with blue clouds, and it was quite interesting. So we found a lot of the users were putting media into the site, but not putting any alt text into it. So this just alleviated that problem. I thought it's
That's
quite a good
interesting.
one.
Yeah, we were sort of saying before we started recording, I think I've been looking into how to use more sort of AI driven things. It's something I've typically not, like, I don't have it in my text editor or anything. So I've found that it typically gives me quite bad results most of the time and just makes a lot of stuff up. But I do use it for like asking questions or taking sort of prompts from it, I guess, but also just like, how do I use it more in general? And I think, but yeah, I'm starting to see it like every online SaaS thing I log into has got a, do you want to fill this in with the AI button? And yeah, I'm
Yes.
starting to see it more in succumbing to certain modules or some, so like it's getting in sort of everywhere now. So it's
Yes.
not saying, yeah, I think learning how to leverage it is going to be quite key for the prompt engineering or
Yes,
whatever that
exactly.
term is.
I mean, I was putting some settings on my own today to just let it know that when I use it, I'm a Drupal 10 developer. And it should ask me certain questions before we even start the day. So, have you fully understood the ticket? Where are you planning to head down? And then I fill in all the boxes. And then I can reanalyze basically what I'm doing with the ticket and where I'm going to go with it. And then I can ask another developer, see if he thinks I'm heading down the right road. And if he does, then go from there. But just questions to ask myself before I start any ticket. And it prompts me to ask them and fill it in before I even go anywhere.
That's
I thought
cool.
that was
That's a good
quite
gadget.
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth doing. I tend to try and spend quite a bit of time sitting down planning out things before I start jumping
Yes.
in coding. Right to get the other day, just even just like doing little to-do lists. I was doing a spike on something yesterday, but even that, just like also capturing the decisions around things, like using sort of ADR documents and just like, why is it we're doing this thing, and sort of writing that all down, so it's there for future me, but also future other people. But also, it
Yes.
gives us a sense of clarity before you start coding and stuff. And yeah, it's good practice to get into, I think, rather than just going, I know how to do this, type, 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 and then just sort of do
Yes.
that for an hour and then realize you've gone off on completely the wrong track or up.
I think we've all been there. But yeah. Well, I mean, for me, it's one of the things is, do you really understand the ticket? Because I'll quickly read it and I think, yeah, I know what's going on. And as you said, you head off, and then an hour later, you think, there was a thread to that. Did I read all of it? And then you go back to it, you're like, oh, I could have saved myself sometimes 2 hours there.
Eventually, yeah.
So yes, it's just, yeah, reminding yourself, just these little prompts to just make sure you know what's going on before you go anywhere. And it's been, well, today's the first day of using it, and it was useful. So we'll
Okay.
see where it leads to.
Sounds like a very interesting idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to write lots of checklists and try what is like SOP, standard operating procedures, or they just send you checklists of things. To things like this podcast, like press the record button and things like that I might forget to do. So yeah, maybe even just like that would be something quite useful to go like just a list of things like, have you done this? Have you done that? Do you understand that? So yeah, I might have
Yes.
to look into doing something similar. That would be quite interesting.
Yes. It'll be good. I mean, we have our stand-up meetings every morning, so it'll be good for me to go have maybe have even a small checklist of things like that before you enter the meeting. And then you formulate everything, and it would just speed up time than writing it down daily.
Yeah, very good idea. I
Yeah.
tend to usually tend to do like a short, like so we'll do like a short call in the morning. But usually I'll try and do like a post at the end of the day, like today I did this, so everybody can sort of see. I've done that before, and like other people then started doing it as well. So yeah, it's quite good just have a sort of handoff at the end of the day as well.
Yes.
Just something makes me feel like I've done something that day as well,
Yes.
which usually helps.
I think it's very valuable because sometimes you might not complete what you're doing and you feel you haven't got anywhere. But actually, when you assess it and write it all down, like you're saying, you actually realize, okay, you did achieve quite a few things.
Yeah, even if I've not maybe written any code, I still maybe understood the problem a bit more. And
Yes.
yeah, or just like, oh, I've figured out how I'm going to do this. I've written this document, or I've done this flow chart, or I've done this. Like now, tomorrow, I'm going to code it in an hour rather than all day because I spent the time today doing it, or whatever the case may be.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a very good point. It's what I'm deciding at the moment when the students come in for the week that they're arriving at Presentis is, I can't remember who talked about this earlier.
I think we talked about it briefly before we started recording. So,
Ah, so next week we have a group of A-level students. I think there's going to be four of them coming in, and the plan is I'll be looking after them for the week. So it's working out what we're going to be teaching them and the plan for the week. So I was trying to try and write it all down and make a plan overall. And I decided to speak to Chris Meir, the CEO of School of Code, and asked him if he had any advice. And he said, try and keep it as real world as possible. And what you're doing, in real life. So I think we'll spend the first 2 days planning it and getting some things done on Figma. So we have an idea of how it will look. And then from there, the plan is for them to have a link to our website or a part of it to, it'll be called the Versantis Academy, where they're going to create a new page for all future work that students are going to do with us. So they're going to create the, how would you call it? The base of the website where all other information will go. So we'll see. It's the first time we've done anything like this.
That's
So it's
really
quite
good idea.
exciting.
That's something a bit different for yourself then, you know, having just gone through a boot camp and sort of done that sort of learning yourself, which then pay it forward yourself and sort of take on a
Yes.
bit of a mentoring role, even in a short-term capacity, would be
Yes.
quite interesting, I'd imagine, as well.
It'll be very interesting. I think when we do run into blockers, I'm going to deal with it the same as I do in the real world. Ask them what their plan is to research it or where they're planning to go with it. And if they go down the right road, do it together. If not, ask another developer because we none of us know everything. And there's
No.
things I'll know that they won't, and they'll think, vice versa.
Definitely. Yeah, we're not all going to learn or we're not going to know everything. I don't think we can, but yeah, and having that community of people, whether that's an internal community at like at a company or like there's also like the Drupal Slack room, like it's like a UK group, and like there's a lot of us in there who are just there, and some people see questions come up of, oh, anybody done this recently, or there's certain questions then about like there's rooms there for things like Drupal Commerce or Tailwind CSS or testing or whatever. Like, so there's being able to leverage that community, even if you are like, oh, like, and this, I've done this, I've been the only developer at a company as well, but I've still got people, on the Slack channel or in that sort of meetup type
Yes.
environment who are there I can ask questions of, or just so you're not on, you're not trying to solve. Like, probably not the first person who's had to solve this problem in some way. So why not leverage collective experience of the community?
It's a good idea. I never considered that there would be a group like that. So that's actually quite a good idea. I'll definitely try and add myself onto that.
Yeah, I was speaking. There used to be a Drupal group in Oxford as well. I think it's not run for a while, but it'd be interesting to see start seeing some of those coming back as well. So not just that. PHP meetups, but specifically Drupal ones, and sort of thinking again about, say, it's been a while since we've done the PHP Southwest meetup, South Wales meetup. But interestingly, was looking at something the other day and found something, the National Eisteddfod website, which is a thing that's running Wales, is built on Drupal 10 by a company. I know of quite a few people obviously around, so I might see if I can try and get some of us together for a just for a chat to see
Yeah.
how's everything going. Don't know if I used to call it a meetup anymore. I don't know if I want to be going to organizing meetups again right now. I've got so much on my plate, but it would be good to just have like a hey, that's South Wales Linux group is not like that. It's so just meet up certain days, and it's more of a social sort of less. It's not like we have to. There's a pressure of organizing something. I have to get speakers and everything,
Yes.
because that takes a lot of work to do every month.
Yes. No, it's nice sometimes to just sit with one another and have a drink and relax.
All the best ones they're ever going to is just maybe there only were two or three of us, and it's great
Yeah.
because I got to ask loads of questions and find out lots of things. Where it's when you go to some of the ones, we got maybe 50 or 100 people or something. It's hard to it's a different environment.
Yes. Exactly. I think as you said, I've been to a meetup before. And the organizer didn't even come to that one. And I was looking around the room, seeing who else there was. And so there were two other people doing the same. So I presumed were looking for the same thing. And they thought I was the organizer by the end of it. and we're still friends, actually. We
That's
meet
good.
up, and it's enjoyable.
That's good. Are you gonna get involved, like maybe not organizing, but are you gonna potentially get start speaking at these meetups that you're going to, or are you just there in a attending
Of
capacity?
all my fears, public speaking is definitely up there.
I think that's
I've
common,
considered
isn't it?
it.
I think a lot of
Yes.
that's quite common for people.
Yes. And I've tried to conquer it. I went to a Toastmasters in Oxford, which is a public speaking forum where they try and help you with it. It was quite formal and it wasn't really for me. So
Same
I'm
impression.
trying to find something else that would slowly get me into it. And also, I'd like to be a bit more knowledgeable on a subject, my chosen subject, before I dived into it. But it's definitely something I can see myself doing in the future. Because at work, we have lunch and learns where we have an hour where someone creates a topic. At least you're in that frame of you know everyone at work. So you're a bit more comfortable. So I think one of them will be coming up soon. I just need to choose. I think it would probably be about the visit to DrupalCon and what we learned and how we found it. So I'm
That'll be
considering lots
interesting.
of things. One might be film a few minutes every day and try and make a little 2-3 minute video at the end of it is an option.
That sounds interesting.
And present that at the lunch and learn that way. Or I'm not sure. I have to have a think about it and see what I think will be best.
I think it's interesting because I had this. I think a lot of people have the same thinking that I need to be an expert on the thing that I'm going to be speaking about. The first talk I ever gave, well, I gave one about Drupal at a local meetup, but then the first Drupal camp one that I gave was London, and I was going anyway. And I thought I'll submit a talk, and we were doing a lot of work with GitFlow back then, which is
Okay.
it's methodology where you've got a develop branch and a master branch and release branches and things. So I was like, oh, I'll submit a talk about that, and then it got accepted, and like I'd used it enough to feel like I knew what I was doing. But a few years later, then when Drupal 8 came out, doing module development for Drupal 8 versus Drupal 7 was very different. So again, I submitted a talk for Drupal Camp London about like intro to Drupal 8 module development, which got accepted. But then I was able to sort of use that as a good reason to go and learn more of it for myself, which was good. But then a lot of events, meetups, and they'll do sort of lightning talks as well. And usually one of the most popular ones are sort of like the 10-minute maximum sort of talks. Like even if it is just like, oh, we found this module that does this. Like, and just to have, this is what we found, this is what it does. Maybe a quick sort of 2-minute demo, like as well. Like you don't need to be like a complete expert on everything inside out. So those are might be a good sort of introduction to get into it as well.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it's more of the fear of, I think thinking about it's harder than actually doing it. So getting over that fear and just doing it, I think once you've done the talk, you'll definitely have enjoyed it.
Yeah,
So I think
I
it's
definitely
just
feel the
getting
same.
over it.
Yeah, I feel the same. I'm always there beforehand going, I need to do this and update this and change that. And I remember going up to a meetup and I'm there sort of editing slides on the train, just putting in notes because I'm, oh, I have to remember to put this in and whatever it was. And I'd turn up and I'm there, so sitting in front of this screen. And then my laptop is literally the other end of the room, because that's where you were to kind of, so I had the clicker and I was able to change the slides, but I couldn't read the notes. So I was ad-libbing most of it anyway, because I couldn't see the notes anyway. So it's good. It's a good experience and it's a good reason to go and see like places, whether it's sort of like, you know, local events, or like I say, I was in Lille for DrupalCon speaking, but I was in where was I recently? Belgium for DrupalCamp in Ghent recently after DrupalCon, because
Okay.
someone had seen me speaking there and said, "Do you want to submit to ours?" And I did, and then got some approved. So good experience to go and see some of these places and meet some of these other people at these events who that like, you probably wouldn't have got to have met otherwise. So it's
Exactly.
It used to, I don't know whether it still does, but it used to be come for the code, stay for the community. I think that was quite a key thing. So you got into it
Yes.
because I want to, you know, build this website or whatever. And then you meet some of the people and, you know, some of those friends, friendships and relationships come out of that and they'll
Yes.
last for a long time.
It's a good saying. I think discovering Drupal, I don't know if I, how many years it would have taken me otherwise, but I'm very, very thankful to have found it. I think it's it was I was looking for something while coding because it's such a vast world. And discovering that, as soon as I discovered it, I thought this is actually something I've been looking for. And it is a big community, but everyone I've met so far has been amazing. Very supportive, and I've loved it.
Yeah,
I think
that's
I'll be doing it
awesome.
for long, many years to come.
Yeah, interesting to see where you go with it, and then yeah, you know, do you end up, yeah, like you know, taking it. It's interesting. I think back to when I started, and then to like I wouldn't have necessarily thought I'd, you know, be speaking at these sorts of events or contributing code to Drupal core itself or making, you know, or maintaining these modules that a lot of people use on that. That's an interesting feeling. You come into a project and it's like, oh, they use a lot of the modules that I wrote. That's quite interesting. So yeah, interesting to see how you continue to sort of, you know, to learn and progress. And yeah, it's been, you know, not been directly involved with it so far, other than having met you at a couple of events. But it's been really interesting to see how you've got into tech and how you've sort of made that leap into, you know, the boot camp and then post boot camp into like the job that you're doing. And it's really interesting you've ended up in the same sort of area and, you know, from having done, you know, a lot of JavaScript at boot camp to meet you at the PHP event and then getting into Drupal. It's quite Yeah,
Yes.
quite interesting to see how that's just how that's worked out.
Yeah, it's been a wild journey, but I've loved every minute of it. I mean, I still have to pinch myself sometimes to see if it's still real, how it's all happened. I think I was very lucky to get into the company I'm in at the moment, because I was considering having to go to London, 2 hours every day, each way. But I thought, if that's what it takes to get into the industry, I was willing to do it. But no, I'm 20 minutes down the road from my house.
Can't fault that.
Yeah, and I want to be in the office every day. I enjoy it. I love the boot camp, wanted to work remotely. I think being in the office, it helps you separate the work-life balance. And I get to see people there and talk to them about code and Drupal. If I'm home, I know my wife's bored of it already.
Yeah.
One, she doesn't understand a lot of it, and two, she's tired of it.
Yeah, so I feel the same. I feel it's nice to have the choice. I think that's the thing. I think after COVID and everything else, and people, oh, now everyone's got to be back in the office. Like, I was working remotely before that anyway. But yeah, I mean, if somebody, like, took the current role, like the office is sort of on, not quite on the doorstep, maybe about half an hour drive, as I was in yesterday, funny enough. But before that, I was working for Vika, and they're based in London, and I used to go in fairly regularly to see people. I think it just helps to be seen and to see people and get some of that time with people,
Yes.
and to sort of let my sort of extrovert side out a little bit sometimes, every so often. So I think it helps, which is nice when I go to a lot of these events as well. But it's nice to be in an industry where you've got the choice, or you can go into an office and work, or you can work from home. You've got a lot of people doing the digital nomad thing, just going
Yeah.
off with a laptop. I spent some time in a co-working space, yeah, it's nice to do something that gives you those options and decide what you
Exactly.
want to do. So,
Exactly.
yeah.
No, it's a new world and I love it.
Brilliant.
Really enjoying it so far. I'm sure I'll continue for a long time.
Yes, and I'll be, I was going to say, I'll be watching. That sounds amazing. It sounds creepy.
Yeah,
But no, I'm sure we'll, bump into Chile at some meetups and things, and interesting to see what happens with the academy training thing that you were saying about for next week. And so I'll be keeping an eye on that, and yeah, maybe I'll see you, because I was on the track team this year for DrupalCon sessions, so
okay.
I think I'll be go I'm sort of going, I think, I'm not completely sure, but yeah, if I'm there, I'm sure I'll say
I'm
hello when
sure.
it happens. Hello.
Perfect. Well,
Cool,
thank you.
thank you very much. Thanks
I've
for
really enjoyed it.
taking the time. Where can people find you online if they want to ask you to
Yeah,
connect with?
so the only online presence I have really is probably LinkedIn. And the company I work for is, well, it'll be George Gordon. And I work for Visantis, so you'll probably find me that way. I don't know if there's a handle as much as such, but yeah, George Gordon.
Brilliant. Yeah, if you find one, I'll put one in the episode notes
Okay.
online, so that'll be great. And then anything else as well. But yeah, thank you for taking the time. Thanks everyone for listening to the Beyond Blocks podcast. I'm Robert Davis. Thank you.